The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage, because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everyone, Amanda Radke back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing exciting and inspiring things in their rural communities to make agriculture and this country stronger. You know, an overall theme of this show has been to protect our land and to fight to secure our legacies so that future generations of farmers and ranchers can continue to do what they do well to keep this nation free and fed. Today is a very special episode. We are recording live from the South Dakota Stock Growers Association meeting. And in a special treat, I've brought along a co-host, Senator Mark Lopke. You know him well. He's been on the show many times. Senator, how are you doing today?
You know, really good. Glad to be out here at the Stock Growers Convention. It kind of feels a lot more like home to me than residing in Pierre at the Capitol, because I'm with a lot of great farmers and ranchers and couldn't be happier.
Absolutely. It's a great day to be amongst cattle ranchers and talking about very hot topics that relate to our land, our livestock, and being able to own and manage our private property as we see fit. One of the speakers this morning was a dynamic individual who spoke the truth with fire. And we sat in the back and I thought, I have to get this guy on the show because he wasn't afraid to tell it like it is. He's an attorney, David Begley. And did I say that right, David?
Yes.
He's an attorney from Omaha, and he was talking about the scam of wind and solar. In fact, the title of your speech, David, was the greatest scam in the history of the world. So I'm going to open up and let you explain what that means to you.
Okay. Well, first off, I want to give your listeners a little side treat. I was not able to write that speech as well as I did without David Mamet. He is America's, probably the world's experts on con games. And he's just written a new book, and I borrowed a lot. And he's done a lot of movies on con games and scams. And two that I mentioned were Heist with Gene Hackman and then House of Games. But the point I'm trying to make is the left and Wall Street have created this great scam that Goldman Sachs says will be at least $1.2 trillion by 2032. And I'm talking about the net zero scam, the catastrophic anthropogenic global warming scam. And in the speech today, I said Begley's Law, CAGW, is a prediction about future events in the far distant future based upon corrupt data and flawed models by people who have a financial incentive to do that. And that's academia, Wall Street, developers, and really Dem politicians who get the campaign contributions. And I also should give a little credit, or a lot of credit, to John Hinderacher, a lawyer from South Dakota, Waterton, and Harvard Law, and Dartmouth College. He educated me a whole lot on this, on the Powerline blog, along with Steve Hayward. So let's leave it. That's the way I see it. It's a scam where these wind and solar projects get at least 30% of their free federal money from the federal government. And that's a term of investment tax credits, production tax credits. It's actually more. Scott Besson said it's up to 60-70%. So this is big money makers, and it's dependent upon these tax credits, because without solar and wind, or without the federal tax credits, they would never do these. And the reason why, Warren Buffett, I'm from Omaha, I attend the annual meeting, and about 6 or 7 years ago, he said, our utility, at that time it was Mid-America Energy, we never would have built those wind towers along I-80 East unless we got the free federal money. And there's a guy who knows numbers. I don't know numbers so well, but he knew it from the financial side. So that's kind of the base case.
Well, it's interesting because we've fought a carbon pipeline project from using eminent domain in the state of South Dakota. And a lot of times we heard over and over again, you know, how great this business was and that there was free money. It was a free gift. And the devil's in the details. I mean, the quiet part that nobody's saying out loud is, no, it's not a free gift. It's the taxpayers paying for these corporations to get rich. It's a reallocation of wealth at the expense of everyday citizens. Now, to ground the story a little bit, and then I'm going to let Senator Lapke jump in with some questions as well, but ground us a little bit in what's happening in Knox County. Tell us the story of what's happening there.
Okay, well, and just backtrack a little bit. I learned from my high school physics teacher at Creighton Prep, there is no free lunch in the universe. That applies to physics and to life and just everything. And I've told my kids that a million times. There is no free lunch in the universe. There's always a cost one way or another. You may not recognize it or see it, but it's there. But I'm a special Knox County attorney. August of last year, Big Wind, Norfolk Wind, LLC of National Grid Renewables, now known as Geronimo Energy out of Minnesota, wants to build a $1.3 billion project, and that translates into at least $390 million. Probably a lot more free federal money from the government. They want to put in 155 wind towers in Knox County of 600 to 650 feet in height. For a little perspective, the Nebraska State Capitol, which is a beacon on the prairie, you drive west out of Omaha, I mean, it's there and it's beautiful. But these would be 200, 250 feet higher than the Nebraska State Capitol. And so I was hired. Many thanks to the Knox County supervisors. And I filed a motion to dismiss in federal court. And they alleged 6 causes of action, a lot of constitutional law actions, takings, and special legislation, yada, yada. And I got 5 out of the 6 dismissed. And Judge John Girard, and I want to mention a little thing about him. He's a senior Nebraska federal judge. Before he was a federal judge, he was one of the youngest people to serve on the Nebraska Supreme Court. And on the Nebraska Supreme Court, they kind of specialize. Some guys do the, and gals, there's women on the Nebraska Supreme Court, very good women too. They'll do criminal law or whatever. But he kind of specialized in land use. So he knew Nebraska law cold. And he wrote in footnote 6, there is no mechanism under Nebraska federal law that would prevent Knox County from banning wind and solar for any hypothetical or rational reasons whatsoever. That's not an exact quote, but it's very close. So what Knox County did on June 11th, the supervisors banned commercial wind and solar. You can have your windmill on your ranch for water. Little solar thing, that's okay, but it's the commercial large scale things that were banned. And now they're complaining about that in the same lawsuit, but I think I can push back on them. And I think eventually Knox County will keep that out because, I spent Saturday in Knox County, Northern Knox County. There is a big tourism component to Knox County because it sits along Lewis and Clark Lake. And I drove in on Highway 12 and Knox County is exceptionally beautiful. And I just came from the Sandhills, Niobrara River, exceptionally beautiful. The thing, wind and solar, they will end up like they did in Germany. Your electric rates will go up 3 to 5 times. That's what they're the U.S. average in Germany. And they also had the blackout in Spain. So, you're out on the prairie, cold, hard prairie in Nebraska, South Dakota, wherever, and the power goes out, you are in a tough position. And it's all unnecessary because it's this prediction about events in the far distant future where we got to achieve net zero by 2050 or we burn up by 2100. Well, all these other predictions in the past have been dead wrong. And so we got to spend, according to Wall Street and these developers, all this money, debt, you know, $1.3 trillion on the federal debt, and we don't find out until 2100 if it worked. So it's just so scammy. That's where Knox County sits right now.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus with its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract. BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
And so during your presentation, you talked about the Spain blackouts, and that definitely piqued Mark's interest a little bit. Mark, I guess, could you share your commentary on like what happened in Spain and what that might look like here in the United States? We're kind of following a similar track here.
Well, as David explained during his speech, you know, Spain has really picked up the renewable energy to a large percentage of their current total supply of the grid. And did you hear earlier in June, David, that Spain was the first country in the history of that for one day had 100% of their grid energized by renewable energy?
Yeah, the 78% is their regular percentage. Mm-hmm. But I mean, three people died and they shaved over €1 billion off their GDP because of that blackout. Was it worth it? No. And their prices are 3 to 5 times higher than U.S. average. And I just talked to a rancher earlier, and he said, if my electricity price on the ranch goes up 3 to 5 times, I'm out of business, because we all need electricity, and more acute now because of the demand for data centers. Wind and solar are intermittent, they're unreliable, and they're expensive. And just as an aside, you know, part of the scam, Lazard is a good-sized Wall Street investment bank. They have this, they call it their levelized cost of energy, and they have pushed that and pushed that for years and said wind and solar are the lowest. No, they're not, because that doesn't include the transmission cost to get the energy out of Knox County or South Dakota to the population centers. It also doesn't account for, you're building two power systems, the reliable base load, and then on top of it, the intermittent. Well, why would you build two if they're not necessary? For your listeners, another real good source that I like is Energy Bad Boys. Isaac Orr and Mitch, I can't remember his name, but they're on Substack and they are very good. I rely on them a lot.
You hit on something there that I just would like you to kind of follow up on, because a large part of the concern is here due to the increased electrical consumption of, say, data centers and what the cost for the consumer is ultimately going to be. Because, you know, I agree with your statement that it wouldn't be economically viable for electricity from windmills and solar panels to be sold at cost of production to the consumer, because it would get too expensive. So we have to have this large subsidization, which you said was at 30% and now possibly 60 to 70%. So I know we followed the Budget Reconciliation Act of 2025, or the big beautiful bill that's the common vernacular. Could you explain to us, because I know it changed many times over the course of the negotiations through the bill, of where the subsidization has ended up for solar and moving forward?
Yeah, and it's going to be a battle going forward. And there was compromising horse trading, like there always is. And the Greens had a firewall of 16 Republican congressmen who said, we need to keep these subsidies going because it helps our districts for jobs. I'll cite him. He's really good. Francis Menton on Substack and Facebook, Manhattan Contrarian, super smart East Coast Ivy League lawyer, and he described it as a mixed bag. So they're going to have to, these wind and solar developers, and this is an important point because your listeners, there's going to be a big push in the next 2 to 4 years to get these projects in under the deadline so they can qualify these for these credits. And it's the initial commentary was beginning of construction was a very lax standard. And if you just buy, you know, if it's a $1 billion project, buy 5% of wind turbine blades or whatever, you qualify and then you have 4 years to finish it. But the president issued and the Department of Treasury issued, they're going to issue regulations about what is the beginning of construction. So there's going to be a legal battle on that point. I don't know how it's going to shake out, but either way, you know, there's going to be this big push the next 2 to 4 years to get under the wire and start building these projects. And again, you know, the big point, you know, all your listeners, you can talk to your county commissioners or supervisors, whatever, because these things, these developers usually have to get a permit, and you can fight them politically and vote them down. And here's another guy, Robert Bryce on Substack. He has an energy or renewable rejection database. More and more counties are rejecting. It's going up and up and up. So what Knox County did, you know, they banned it. And, you know, go to your commissioners, say either vote it down or ban it. Because if either, you know, I like the belt and suspenders approach, you know, vote them down and then ban them. So you're not going to be bothered by these people in the future.
So a lot of times we get the accusation because we have the audacity to stand up for private property rights and the free market. And we're advocating for small and limited government and not leasing the taxpayers to fund what we would call a big lie, which is this whole climate change hoax. I guess, can you speak to that a little bit? What is the big lie? And please just communicate to the listeners, because it's happening all over in every state of the nation. How are they using the big lie to really monetize and enrich themselves?
Well, in my talk today, you know, the beginning of it really was Michael Mann's hockey stick. And then Dr. James Hansen from Iowa, back in the late 80s, he says 99% certain that fossil fuels are raising the temperature. And he made all these fantastic predictions about the ice caps melting. None of them have been true. And so Michael Mann and Hansen and their other favorite thing is their appeal to authority. This is the scientific consensus. Well, in my talk today, I said, James Clauser, who won the Nobel Prize in Physics, said CHEW is not a real problem. So who are you going to believe? You know, Clauser, who won the Nobel Prize, or Dr. Michael Mann, who lied and said he won the Nobel Prize, who came up with this hockey stick, which was a complete fabrication. But, you know, the big lie, and then you got Al Gore, and then you got the media constantly saying, you know, bam, 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 this is real. We got to act now. You know, otherwise we're going to burn up in the year 2100. 48% of the public believe it. And they teach it in the schools. You know, like I said earlier, well, one thing, they ignore it entirely, China and India. They're building coal-fired power plants left and right. They say it so much, and if you disagree, you're ostracized, you're canceled, and it's repetition. And today, 48% of the American public think climate change is a serious problem. But in every county, you can do it. And they all have to put them in rural areas. I mean, my experience has been people in the rural areas, unless they're getting those lease payments, they are against it. They don't want to see them. And you don't need to delve into, you know, and people inherently know it's intermittent, it's unreliable. You need power 24/7, and demand and supply has to be met exactly every time. And their solution is build this base load of reliable,
for most part, not gas or nuclear.
And one last point, you know, Facebook, Meta, same thing, Apple, Amazon, they say, oh, we want net zero electricity. Google, they're another big ones. But what has happened is the demand for power now is so much that they have pretty much thrown that in the trash. And a lot of these data centers, like there's a new project going in North Dakota powered by nat gas, and then nuclear is getting going with Constellation Energy. They are restarting a lot of nuclear power plants because between reliable base load and intermittent, they have chosen to go with the reliable.
Well, you hit on something there, you know, because coal is one of the cheapest and most reliable forms of electricity that we currently have. And, you know, that's probably the biggest issue with the wind and solar is the intermittent availability at times. And so you're always going to have a constant backup. And so a large part of the reason that they've been doing this is because of the carbon index or CI score for these. Do you have any idea what the difference is in the carbon intensity of wind and solar versus coal?
I don't, but I would say that coal, the left has been very successful in demonizing coal, but I can remember it was a few years back, it was clean coal. Nebraska's got two big coal-fired power plants in Hastings and Nebraska City and North Omaha. You know, I see those coal trains still coming out of Wyoming. It's a tough call there in terms of the you know, people are more interested in the particulates that cause asthma or whatever, but I don't really have a good answer to that. But I mean, coal, and to this day, coal is a big provider of electricity, and it's already in place. And so, you know, keep going with it.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A, Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it.
You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here, and I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt exactly as nature made it. It contains 60-plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKE to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
So I've got a question. You know, we're in cattle country here, and a saying we have in the cattle business is good fences make good neighbors. And, you know, what you do on your side of the fence, that's your property, that's your right. What do I have to say? However, in this discussion, you know, it was clear on a carbon pipeline that, okay, this is going to impact a lot of people, and a lot, and some didn't want to participate. So go around. The difference here then would be, okay, say if a willing landowner says, I want a 1,000-acre solar panel garden on my prairie land, or I want this huge mass of wind turbines, and I'm going to get paid massive amounts of money for my lease, but there's a house on the other side of the fence. Can you speak a little bit to downstream effects of some of these projects as it relates to the landowners that have to live in a vicinity of these projects, but aren't the ones being compensated for the projects?
Well, I see that point of rhetoric where they say, you know, I can do anything I want on my private property. Well, that hasn't been the law in the United States really since the 1930s. All land is subject to reasonable zoning. You know, in the case of South Dakota, you know, the state can make a finding based upon public health, safety, general morals, and general welfare. And I listed in the Knox County Resolution 18 reasons why it's not to the benefit of the county as a whole to have these commercial wind and solar. So it's a complete canard to say, I can do anything I want on my property. I mean, when I was researching the brief for my motion to dismiss, it was a hot issue. I don't know, it was 70s or 80s about building strip clubs in Nebraska. And Judge Girard had written a federal court decision on that. But the point is, I mean, if the people of Grand Island or North Platte don't want a strip club in their area, they can zone it. And that's kind of the case with these wind and solar farms. I mean, it's a little rough analogy, but I mean, well, between a strip club and a wind and solar.
Well, I get it. And to that point, before I let Mark jump in, you had described taking like South Dakota, Nebraska, North Dakota prairie land and farmland and converting it into these green energy projects as a sin. And so can you talk a little bit about how you mentioned Texas and compared to South Dakota? What South Dakota is good for? I liked that.
Well, okay, this comes from Adam Smith's book from 1776, The Wealth of Nations, which Hamilton and our founders read. And he laid out natural advantage, which is a big part of our economic system. And I told the ranchers here today, South Dakota and Nebraska, physical natural advantage to raise cattle. We have the grass, we have the water. You know, that's really the important thing. They don't have that so much in Texas. And though I was in Austin, I saw a good documentary called Cowboys, and you know, the land isn't as productive. So, but here's the trade. They are great, and then they sell us oil and gas, and that's economically efficient. Each side benefits, you know, each side is pursuing their own self-interest. But the big fallacy is, why are we subsidizing the inefficient production of energy on scarce and getting scarcer ag land when, okay, we're going to build a bunch of nat gas turbines up in North Dakota. There's the gas there. GE sells them the turbines, and we're going to have these big data centers. Well, that's great. That's the way it should be. It should not be, you know, a bunch of wind turbines up on the Black Hills. I mean, that would just, you know, economically and aesthetically sinful. And I want to get this in. I'm a fan of Ann Althaus. She's a retired law professor at the University of Wisconsin. That's his blog. Rush Limbaugh read her blog, and she had a beautiful phrase on a post about President Trump's aesthetic sense. You know, Trump and it, the way he talks. He says, they're ugly, they're terrible. And he's right, but Ann wrote, we need to keep in our minds and imagination these beautiful parts of our country. And you know, South Dakota is beautiful. I love all of rural America, and there's no need or reason, either economically or aesthetically, to do this, especially because there are a limited number of fat cats. Oh, you know, that are going to make the developers. But here's another thing: there is a huge private secondary market in these federal income tax credits. Let's say I'm Norfolk Wind. I get $390 million worth of, you know, free money. I can sell them, you know, and the accounts and the lawyers are involved, and they sell them to Jeff Bezos or, you know, anybody else. You know, I want to lower my federal income tax bill. Well, how crazy is that? You know, we're $37 trillion in debt. Why do we want to add more debt so some fat cats can be in on these private partnerships and buy these energy credits? You know, I looked through one day, there are a lot of lawyers at the big firms, and they call themselves tax equity financing. There are companies that buy and sell these credits. You know, it's great lawyer business, but is it productive business? No, I mean, they could be doing something else. And there's a big law firm in Omaha, a lot of people doing that work, but you know, there are other things that can be done on the legal side. And just the net is negative to our country. 3 to 5 times higher electric rates, Germany is being deindustrialized. And because the Greens control Germany. And then Spain, blackout. You know, who wants a blackout if you're, you know, out in Pier or January 20 and, you know, 20 below and the wind's blowing and just, oh, what are you going to do? It's crazy.
Well, being a landowner myself, David, and a very, very big proponent of private property rights, I've been involved in a multi-year eminent domain battle. And I have a two-part question here for you. Are you aware of eminent domain ever being utilized for wind or solar? And if not, do you believe that there is a pathway that would ever be a possibility?
Well, it's interesting you should mention that. So I'm a fierce critic of the Omaha Public Power District. Nebraska is all public power. OPPD, NPPD, and LES, Lincoln Electric System, they have a monopoly on all the power production and transmission in the state of Nebraska, but they're governmental subdivisions. They are municipal corporations. And a municipal corporation has the right to condemn property to build their power lines. And you know, that was essential to settle the West with the railroads, all the roads, power lines, telephone lines. Yeah, that was essential. OPPD has that ability to do so, but MPPD2 has that. But OPPD bought a failed solar project in York County, and they have promised that they're not going to exercise eminent domain to condemn private property to build a solar field. But, you know, Groucho Marx said an oral contract is worth the paper it's written on. I mean, right. They can say that they're not going to do it, but they could. And that OPPD board, the current board, they are strongly committed to net zero. It's right in their policy. And they could do it if they wanted to. I mean, there's no difference between building a transmission line and condemning a bunch of land to build a solar field or a wind farm. But, you know, and that's kind of a political thing. But, well, you know, as President Trump says, we'll see how it goes. But I mean, another aside about York County, I was out there a little bit helping the opponents, and I found out that York County is number one in the state of Nebraska for corn production. To my mind, you know, if they're number one, there's no way they should let thousands of acres go to solar, because who wants to give up their number one status? I would never want to do that. And it's just so inefficient, and it just benefits a minority of people. The thing in Nebraska, you know, our property taxes, unlike South Dakota's, are much higher. And so part of the left's game is, well, this nameplate tax and we'll reduce your, your property taxes. Oh, I'm not so sure about that. And I think net, it's probably really not worth it, in my opinion.
Well, whether it's carbon, wind, solar, whatever, I think it's very clear that these conversations, as it relates to landowners, has to become who is going to protect the landowner's private property rights, and what is an appropriate use of eminent domain? Is it for private companies? Is it for public use? Is it for economic development? And perhaps states across the nation need to start looking at those definitions and clearly defining that. I'm throwing that the senator's way, that maybe that should be the topic of discussion in the upcoming session. But it's interesting, once you start connecting the dots, you mentioned Jeff Bezos. Do you know he just became like the biggest cowboy in America? Because for the low, low price of $4.5 million, he was able to gain the DNA, the genetic information from the American Angus Association. Coincidentally, he's invested millions of dollars into a vaccine for cattle to lower emissions in cattle. So it's just quite funny to see how these fat cats, as you described, are playing an entire con on the agricultural industry, and farmers and ranchers are being conditioned to say they have to be at the table to have these discussions with these individuals who really don't care about their land, the livestock, or food security, but they definitely care about getting leverage on what you have, which are those assets.
Well, I would just say to your listeners, I mean, we are still a democratic country, and you have a lot of power. You can talk to your county commissioners or your state senators or whatever, and you can influence them. And, you know, democracy still rules in this nation. And it was very painfully, or not painfully, but it was very obvious in Knox County. Saunders County approved a solar development that for OPPD. The chairwoman, she had recused herself, but she was the one that was leasing her land. People were so mad, they recalled her from office. That is very rare in Nebraska. And so, in my experience, is unless you're getting a check from a wind or solar company, you don't want it. And people are always protecting their own self-interest. It's not just the view. Who wants a blackout? And the Department of Energy, just last week, we have these different power pools in the state or in the country. Nebraska's in Southwest Power Pool, SPP. MISO is another big one. They've been very close to having blackouts because there's too much unreliable solar and wind. So you people in rural America, you're protecting your own self-interest. No blackouts. We want a reliable base load and lower power prices. Why would we do what Germany and Spain have done? They have failed their people. I talked a little bit about energy poverty. I know it's a big deal in the UK. We're, you know, pensioners, old people like me, say, I have to choose between heating my house or eating. And it created energy poverty. There was no energy poverty 20 years ago. So, you know, again, it's Adam Smith, Wealth of Nations, natural advantage, economy, efficiency. Don't go the inefficient way. Mm-hmm. Go the efficient, low-cost way, and people can, you know, afford their electricity. And I talked about it a little bit. I mean, I'm a graduate of Creighton University run by the Society of Jesus. And they taught us, you got to have concern for our lesser wealthy brethren. And for me, it's been, okay, I'm not going to contribute to higher power prices in Omaha. And that's a nation. You know, it's funny. I saw a list the other day of the states with the highest energy costs, Hawaii, California, Massachusetts, New York. You know, it's because of the solar and wind, you know, and there's a lot of other reasons too. But, you know, Nebraska, we're blessed. But, you know, if they keep going down that route, the rates are going up. They're going up.
Well, you've certainly given us a lot of food for thought here today. I think I could ask you questions for hours, but this is the wrap up to Senator Lopke to close it out. Any final parting words?
Well, I think that we're going to have to really keep an eye on this because, as David has spoke to quite eloquently here today, that our power supply is of concern. You know, we've all taken for granted that whenever you're going to go flip the light switch on, the light's going to come on. It'll be there. And with some of the rolling blackouts that have happened primarily during the heat of the summer or the cold of the winter, it's becoming a concern. And we all like that reliable grid. It's something that we want to have there when we need it. But at the same time, we're going to have to do it in a responsible manner because the intermittency of green energy just is not there. And I think it's a property rights issue on top of it that we're going to have to monitor. None of us want to go back into the Stone Ages, and we just want to live our lives out the way we always have.
With an immigrant from the West African country of Burkina Faso, and this guy speaks like four languages and also federal income tax code, which is another language. His country, his home country, they had a huge, you know, they could only rely on power like, you know, 1 or 2 hours a day. And a big measure of GDP and economic power and strength is electricity and reliable power. You know, he loves it here because we got power all the time and it's cheap. You know, we're going backwards with this wind and solar. And you know, there's a few fat cats in Wall Street. They love it. They just love this. And the President Trump has really pushed back against so many ways. And again, you know, you're doing a good job in South Dakota. People can do this because they got to site these plants in rural America. And admitted, that's their biggest challenge. OPPD says, oh, we're in trouble getting these things sited. Well, okay, that's democracy. That's how it works. If we don't want them here, you know, go stick them in Omaha. Well, that's not going to work.
Well, David, Mark, I appreciate your time today. And on the Heart of Rural America podcast, we're going to continue to advocate for the truth, for common sense, for small and limited government, and for the American farmer and rancher to be able to stay on the land, be stewards of those natural resources, and I don't know, do what they do best to keep this nation free. Till next time, I'm Amanda Radke.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the Heart of Rural America.